We're holding on page 122 in Brachos Ospehe. We learned last time the Gemara was discussing the Tefillah of Chanah and then various details in it. The last thing we had was something from Rabbi Lozer in the name of Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra. So now, as the Gemara often does, it brings another vote from him, even though it's not directly connected to what we said before. So the Gemara says, Omer Rabbi Lozer mishum Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra, kol ha-yoshev b'tainis v'shabbos, if a person fasts on Shabbos, koden like gzar dinoi shel shivim shana, then that causes that Hashem will rip up, even if there was a gzar din on him, that he's going to have 70 years of bad. Or it can mean a gzar din that 70 years ago when he was born, there was a gzar din on him that he's going to have a hard time. Then this tainus on Shabbos causes that to be torn up. Tosfos brings, and the Eitz Yosef also brings from the Rosh, that particularly we're not just talking about a tainus for tshuva, we're talking about a tainus cholim. So a person had a bad dream on Friday night, then, and he said he fasts for it on Shabbos, then that rips up the gzau din that is indicated by that dream. But afal pi kein, chozrin v'nifron menu din onig Shabbos. Nevertheless, though, the person is eventually going to be punished min hashamayim for the fact that he missed out onig Shabbos. He missed out the enjoyment of Shabbos. So in other words, the idea is that on the one hand, now the Gemara tells us later on in the Masechta that it's important that the tainis, if a person is going to fast a tainis cholim, it should be as soon as possible after the dream. And you also have, the Alter Rebbe discusses in Shulchan Aruch, there's a siman about the siman Reish Peches, where the idea is, in other words, you have this person is in such a bad mood as a result of the dream and so worried about it that that actually he'll feel more of an, in a sense, he'll feel more of an onig Shabbos if he fasts than if he eats. Nevertheless, though, he's still held to account for the fact that he missed the regular onig Shabbos of eating. My takante, so how should he fix it up? Amr of Nachu Yitzchak, leisef ta'anisa v'ta'anisa. Let him fast, another fast, to make up for the fast that he fasted on Shabbos that he shouldn't. Rashi specifically says, yis'an elamocho, you should fast the next day. Ideally, the ritva, I think it is, says that ideally that's how it should be done. However, not necessarily. I mean, so actually, Eitz Yosef brings from the poskim about this. So is Rashi just saying that it's best to fast on Sunday to make up for fasting on Shabbos, or is it that it has to be that way? Then he brings that on the one hand in Shulchan Aruch it says b'tzorich, on the other hand the Levush says the lashon b'toiv. So whether it's something that you have to do or whether it's something that you should do, so you have the different opinions about it. Okay, getting back now to Chana, v'omer abalazer, Chana hiticha dvorim klape maira. When Chana was davening to Hashem, she hurled words against Hashem. Hiticha literally means like a person takes something and throws it at somebody else. So she did that. She threw words of tefillah at Hashem. Shenema v'tispalo al Hashem, as the pasuk says, she davened on Hashem. Now, usually the expression would be v'tispalo el Hashem. But instead, the pasuk phrases it "Vatispalal al Hashem," implying that she actually, like she used very sharp arguments against Hashem. So Malamed she tichad varim klape maila. What kind of sharp arguments? So Marsha says we learned before. First of all, we said that she, so to speak, threatened Hashem and said that if you don't give me children, then I'm going to become a soita and I'm going to force the issue. That's an example of atachas dvarim. Another example is that the last thing that we learned on Thursday, that she was saying, why did he create me breasts if they have no use? So that's also hatachas dvarim. That's like complaining, like as if speaking as though chas v'shalom Hashem didn't know how to do better. So those kinds of things are called hatachas dvarim. The Eitz Yosef brings another thing from the Tzlach, another way in which she was Matiach Dvarim, is that in effect what she's saying is, she's saying, Hashem, fine, I understand a person can have a mazel that says that they're not going to have children. But if you don't answer my tefillah, and everybody knows that I'm a tzaddikus, and in fact she's one of the seven Nevi'os, people are going to think that Hashem Chas V'Shalom, that you don't have the power to override the mazolos, and therefore, so that's Hatachas Dvarim Klapimayla, that's like hurling accusations and words against Hashem, like as if, like having to, for, like forcing the issue. Ian Yakov points out, I mean, you would think then in that case, you ought to have been held to account for that. The answer is that no, since the Pasuk says before that, v'hi moras nefesh, she was bitter in her spirit. Therefore, as we know, the Gemara tells us in Bava Basra, Hashem doesn't hold against a person what they say in their time of pain. So therefore, Hashem didn't hold it against her. Another one who hurled words against Hashem like that was Eliyahu HaNavi. Shenema, he says by Har HaKarmel during the whole showdown with Nevi'a Baal, he says, Va'ata siboisas liba macheranis. You, Hashem, have turned their hearts backward. In other words, Eliyahu is telling Hashem that you've made the world in such a way that people have a tremendous Yetzirah and they end up going the wrong way. In fact, Eitz Yosef points out a couple of possibilities. Rashi there on the Pasuk says that it means that you, Hashem, have the capability of making them do good, and instead you made it possible for them to do badly, that you gave them a Yetzirah. Another point Eitz Yosef mentions is that you gave them a tremendous amount of goodness, as our Gemara is going to discuss soon, that means that thereby Hashem strengthens your Yetzirah when they have Roiv Toiva, then they sometimes don't know what to do with it. Another point, the Rambam makes a point in Hilchos Teshuva that also what it is sometimes the Rambam describes, as we know, for example, with Paroi, that part of a person's punishment is Hashem takes away their Bechira Chofshis. So that's what Eliyahu is now saying to Hashem. Hashem, you've taken away to a certain extent their Bechira Chofshis, and therefore they're doing badly and they're worshiping Avodah Zarah, so please don't do that. So this is him being Matiach Dvorim Klapim Maila. He's hurling words and accusations, Kavyachol, at Hashem. And Amr Bishmal Brav Yitzchak, Minayin Shechazer HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'Hoy Deloy L'Eliyahu, page 122. Minayin Shechazer HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'Hoy Deloy L'Eliyahu. How do we know that in the end Hashem ended up agreeing with Eliyahu? Dichtiv, because you have a later pasuk in the Novi Micha, V'Asher Harei Oisi, Hashem says, and the ones that I did bad. Rashi brings the first part of the pasuk. Hashem starts by saying in the pasuk, "Vayoyimahu," on that day when Mashiach comes, "Ois fahatzeleya," I will gather together all of the limping ones, all the Jewish people who are limping, begashmius and beruchmius in galus, vani docha kabeitza, and all the ones who were distanced, all the ones who were pushed away. I will gather. I'll bring them close. Va'asher harei oisi, and Hashem says, and the ones that I did bad. In other words, that Hashem is saying, so to speak, that Eliyahu has a certain point. I made this bad situation happen by creating a Yetzirah in the first place. Ultimately, as Marsha explains over here on the next piece of Gemara, we're not saying, a person after all is supposed to have Bechira Chofshis. But in that sense, Hashem is not completely agreeing with Eliyahu and saying, I shouldn't have created the Yetzirah at all. Well, in a certain sense, yes, there's actually a Gemara in Sukkah that it says that there are three things that Hashem Kaviyahu regrets every day that he created, and one of them is the Yetzirah. But what? Say what? Hashem can take it back, right. But the way the Eibishter created the world is not. But nevertheless, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, it gives a certain pischin peh, it gives a certain excuse, a certain built-in excuse that, after all, the Eibishter put us in this position in the first place. If there's no Bechira Chofshis, then there's no Schar Va'Onesh, of course, yeah.
Any excuse why?
And in fact, the Rashba brings over here that what does it mean, Hashem admitting to Eliyahu, or the Gemara is going to go on to say, Hashem admitting to Moshe. I mean, Hashem doesn't change his mind, Kaviyachol. What it means is, he brings from Rabbi Goin that any time we have something where it says that Hashem agreed with somebody, Kaviyachol, then it means that Hashem, it means exactly that. Not that Hashem had one thought and then Chas V'Shalom thinks differently, because Hashem doesn't change his mind, but rather it means that Hashem's mind agrees. In other words, the tzaddik, Eliyahu or Moshe, came up with the same kind of idea that Hashem himself has. But the point is, in other words, he's bringing from Abhai Goin, that the point is, in other words, like they, just the opposite, the Nivroi, Moshe and Eliyahu, managed to achieve and understand Hashem's way of thinking to that extent. Also, he goes on to say that nevertheless, the Gemara is still calling it the Gemara is still calling it, even though the Gemara is saying that Hashem agreed with Eliyahu, meaning that Eliyahu, after all, figured out something of a little bit of what of the way Hashem thinks. Nevertheless, the Gemara is calling it Matiach Dvarim Klapei Maila, because at least on the outside, in the chitzoniistic way that he said it, it sounds like a chutzpahdika thing to say, as if to like blame Hashem for people doing averus. So even though Hashem is saying, you know what? It's a fair point. This is part of my machshava. Nevertheless, the Gemara is faulting Eliyahu for phrasing it that way. So now the Gemara says, "Va'omer Chanina b'Rab Chama il mole gimel." Maybe I don't know. By me, it just says "Va'omer Reish Ches b'Reish Ches." I don't know how it's expanded in your Yaakov's. I believe it's Rab Chanina b'Rab Chama, but I'm not sure. Rab Chama b'Rab Chama b'Rab Chanina. Okay. Anyway, he says, "Umale gimel makrois halalu." If it weren't for the following three psukim that we're going to quote, "Nismotetu ragleim shal soni Yisrael," the feet of the enemies of the Jewish people, meaning, of course, us Jewish people ourselves, would stumble. In other words, that like this, we would be judged by Hashem, and we would have no excuse whatsoever, except for the ideas expressed in these psukim, which show that, in other words, Hashem sort of put us in this position by giving us a yetzer hara and making it powerful. So the first one, Chad Dichtiv Asher Harei, one is the pasuk we just quoted, where Hashem himself says, Kav Yachol, I did badly by creating the Yetzer Hara, that I could have done it differently. But Chad Dichtiv, a second one, is a pasuk in Yirmiyah, Hashem says, Hine Kachoyme B'yada Yetzer, just like the clay in the hand of the potter. This is where, of course, the famous piyut that we say on Yom Kippur night comes from. Kein Atem B'yodi Beis Yisrael, so are you in my hands, house of Yisrael. So in other words, Hashem is saying that ultimately I'm in control. I could choose to take away your Yetzer Hara. V'chad b'chtiv, and a third one in Yechezkel, where Hashem promises, v'asiroisias leva evin mibsarchem, I'll take away the heart of stone from within your flesh, v'nasati lachem lev baser, and I'll give you a heart of flesh, meaning a heart of stone is one that's insensitive to elikos. A heart of flesh is where flesh is soft and pliable and sensitive, so therefore it means that that Hashem will give us the ability to absorb elikos in a way that we can't now.
Basically, it's interesting. One, the first one is Ator Asher Ha'Yud.
Right.
The second one is
Asher Ha'Yud. This is Hashem saying.
After choice.
Yeah.
And the third one, you promise.
Yeah. So the first one, Hashem himself is saying, "I did badly." The second one, Hashem himself is saying, "You're in my hands."
You can fix yeah. It. And the third one, you promise to fix it.
Okay. Yeah. Now, Marashah points out, I mean, after all, look, I mean, you know, the Gemara tells us elsewhere, Hashem says, I created the Yetzer Hara, and I created the Torah as an antidote against it. So just all it is, in other words, that after all, it gives us a certain pischein pei. It's not a complete, it's not like we can say, not like we have the ability to say, when it comes to Hashem's judgment, yeah, but you created the Yetzer Hara, it's not our fault at all. But at least it gives us a certain pischein peh, that in other words, that a certain degree of excuse, such that Hashem is able to have rachmanus on us on that basis. That's why the Gemara's expression was nismotetu ragleim shel soni Yisrael. If it weren't for that, our feet would completely stumble. We would have nothing to stand on whatsoever. Now at least we have some slight thing to stand on. That's what I was just saying, that in Sukkah, the Gemara says that there were three things that Hashem says every day that he regrets that he creates, and one of that he created, and one of them is the Yetzer Hara. Yeah.
Why didn't he do anything about it?
Why didn't he do anything about it? Because the Eibishter just set up the world that there needs to be Schar V'Onish.
But the Rebbe said Mashiach is supposed to come.
So when Mashiach comes, then it's going to be a whole different world. Then Esaruach HaTom Avim and Aretz.
Hold on. The Eibishter puts and goes.
Yeah? Right.
The Eibishter has to take us out.
That is true.
We don't have to wait, but take us out right now.
Amen. Amen. Rapapa Amamechacha, Rapapa says, now you have a clearer pasuk in that same nevuah of Yechezkel that expresses the same idea, that Ruchi etin bekirbachem, Hashem says, I will place my spirit within you, va'asisi, and I will make it, es asher b'chukai teilechu, that you will walk in my statutes, that you will follow my mitzvahs. In other words, Rapapa is saying, the previous pasuk is saying, fine, Hashem is saying, I'll take away the heart of stone and give a heart of flesh. But a heart of flesh is not automatically going to listen to Hashem. It just makes it possible for a person to. Rav Papa is saying even more than that, Hashem has the ability to actually make it that we will do mitzvahs, namely the next pasuk where Hashem is saying, Va'ostisi, I will make it, Eis Hashem b'chukai teilechu, that you're going to follow my mitzvahs. Va'omer Rabbeinu Moshe hitiach dvarim klapei maila. another one who heard. So far we had Chana and we had Eliyahu. Now Moshe also hurled words against, threw words up against Hashem. Shenema vayispalo Moshe el Hashem. The pasuk says Moshe davened to Hashem. Al tikri. Now that's the normal word to say that he davened to Hashem. But al tikri el Hashem el al Hashem. Don't read as if it said el Hashem to Hashem, but rather al Hashem on Hashem. Which we said before, the Lashon by Chana, where it actually said in the pasuk al Hashem, means that she was, so to speak, accusing Hashem. And where do we get that? How can we transform the aleph into an ayin? Shekain dveir of Elazar ben Yaakov koden la'alfin ayin or la'ayin and alfin. As we find in the yeshiva of Elazar ben Yaakov, they darshan like that. They would darshan, or maybe even they would speak. They would pronounce alephs and ayins the same, same as we Ashkenazim do when you get down to it. But therefore el Hashem with an aleph can be darshan as if it said al Hashem with an ayin. Now, though, everybody asks, okay, but fine, by Chana, at least it says, Befeirush al Hashem. But where is Rabbi Lazar getting the idea to say that we should do a kriyuk siv over there in order to accuse Moshe of being matiach dvarim klapim ayla when the pasuk doesn't actually say so? So there's a lot of different explanations. Marsha says, the vote is that... Because Marashah says we're not actually now the Maramokim that you have here in Ein Yaakov is referring by Midbar Yud Aleph is referring to the story of the Misoinim. So you have the people are complaining, Rabbe Ein Hashem, and Hashem sent a fire by Ispala Moshe El Hashem. But Marashah says no. What we're actually talking about is a different pasuk in Parashas Ekev when Moshe is davening on behalf of the Jewish people after the Chet Ha'Egel, and the pasuk says over there, "Vospalo El Hashem." Now, and he's saying Tochas Dvarim. He's saying Al Derech, like what we said before, and what Eitz Yosef said about Chana's Tefillah, that people are going to think you don't have the power. Moshe used exactly that same argument in his argument on behalf of the Jewish people, that the Goyim are going to think we built Yecholos Hashem, that Hashem doesn't have the ability, etc. So that's Matiach Dvarim Klapim Ma'ila. So Marsha goes on. So why Taka does the Gemara darshan it? Because once it says over there that Moshe says, I fell down before Hashem, there's no reason for him to say Vospalo El Hashem. Who else? He's falling down in front of Hashem. Of course, he's davening to Hashem. Therefore, the Gemara finds it appropriate to darshan the El Hashem as if it said Al Hashem. And since we find in the Psukim over there that Moshe used a powerful argument, which is called Atochas Dvarim, as if like saying, Hashem, I know better than you, then therefore that's how the Gemara darshans it. So Al Hashem wouldn't, if it explicitly said Al Hashem, then we wouldn't need the Al Tikri. Because it actually says El Hashem is why we need Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov to be telling us that you can switch around Aleph and Ayin. But in other words, Marashah says the fact that brings the Gemara to Darshan in the first place is because we actually see in the Psukim over there that Moshe is using such an argument against Hashem, saying that the Goyim are going to think you don't have the power. Chassid Shalom. There's a lot of other explanations of why the Gemara darshans this way. The Rif over here says it is referring to the pasuk that you have the Maram Makam for over here about the Misoinim. What you have is, again, the pasuk says, Vayitzaka Omel Moshe, the people cried out to Moshe, and then Vayispalo Moshe El Hashem, and Moshe davened to Hashem, and the fire went away, and the fire sank into the ground. So the Gemara is bothered by why it has to say El Hashem. If he's davening, who else is he davening to? And the answer is that he tiach dvarim klapim mila, that he's hurling accusations at Hashem as saying that Hayitochen, they did such a small thing, and you're punishing them so tremendously with this great fire. Then he goes on to say that also a few psukim later, you have the next thing after that is where they're complaining about the mon, and Moshe starts saying to Hashem, Loma harisias kolam azed, did I give birth to this whole people that you're telling me to carry them and I can't take it anymore, and so on and so forth. So a number of the mafoshim over here point out that's also atochas dvarim, that's also Moshe, so to speak, accusing and hurling words against Hashem, that why'd you put me in this position, which we never find anywhere else Moshe doing such a thing, so therefore the Gemara is darshaning it that way.
So also Moshe at the beginning
he was saying to Hashem, I can't do it. He says, v'hein lo yaminu bi, and so forth. That's true, right. But now, at least since Matan Torah, this is the first time that we find Moshe doing this. Yeah. Dveir Rabbi Yanai Amri Mehofa. What? I said that. Shekein Dvei Rabbi Eliezer, Koren La'alfin Einen, La'ayin and Alfin. Because in the yeshiva of Rabbi Eliezer, they pronounced Alephs as Ayins and Ayins as Alephs. And therefore, that allows us to douch in the words El Hashem as if it said Al Hashem. Ashkenazim we're talking about, yeah. Okay. Anyway, continues the Gemara. Dvei Rabbi Yane Amri Mehocha. In the yeshiva of Rabbi Yannai, they said we have a different source for the idea that Moshe was hitiach dvarim klapimayla, that he hurled accusations at Hashem. Namely, at the beginning of Chumash Dvarim, when he lists all the places and he says that they have a dizahav. So in the simple sense, so Marsha explains, you know, we have Rashi on the pasuk explains that each of the places that he's mentioning over there are not actual places where he spoke to the Jewish people, but rather they hint at the various averis that the Jewish people did during the 40 years in the desert. And he's giving them musa for it. And one of them, the last one is v'di zahav. Now the zahav, okay, he's giving them musa for the chet ha'egel. But why the word v'di? Let him just say v'zahav. So my v'di zahav, what is the d adding? Ami dvei Rabbi Yannai. So they said in the yeshiva of Rabbi Yannai, kach ama Moshe lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, means that Moshe is saying to Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, v'shvil kesef v'zahav she'ishpaita lahem le'Yisrael, because of the tremendous amount of gold and silver that you bestowed on the Jewish people, ad she'omru die, until the point where they're saying enough. That's v'di zahav, meloshen die, who got him, she'also as eagle. That caused that they made the eagle. So this is, so to speak, Moshe accusing Hashem. So in he's giving toichacha to the Jewish people, but at the same time, he's also, so to speak, accusing Hashem of that he made it possible for it to happen by giving them so much gold and silver in the first place. Rashi, Marsha mentions, by the way, that Rashi on Chumash brings the same thing when we're back by the actual Chet Ha'egel, when Moshe comes to Hashem and says, why does he have to mention that they made a god of gold particularly? Rashi makes the same point over there, that Moshe is saying to Hashem, a limud schus on the Jewish people, they only were brought into this by the fact that you gave them so much gold in the first place.
Now we're fixing it,
what? Yeah.
Now we don't die, so we cannot have this.
Yeah. By the way, Iyun Yaakov points out earlier in the Masechta, we had the discussion when it talks about Dabur Naba Ozne Om, when Moshe is told to ask, please ask the people to borrow silver and gold from the Mitzrayim. And we said, so who was Baal Korcham of who? Who was it when it says that they gave them Baal Korcham? Whose Baal Korcham was it? Baal Korcham of the Mitzrayim were forced to give, even though they wouldn't have wanted to, or Baal Korcham of the Jews that we said over there, they just say, we want to leave Mitzrayim already and we don't care about gold and silver. And Hashem is saying, but I have to make it happen in order to fulfill the promise to Avraham Avinu. So Rabbi Yannai says, Iyun Yaakov is going according to his Shitta. He says that it was Baal Korcham of Yisrael. So therefore, Moshe now is saying to Hashem, now he's Matiach Dvarim Klapimayla, and saying, look, Hashem, you, the Jewish people didn't even want all this gold and silver. You forced them to accept it. Now what do you expect is going to be the result? So that's the thing. So Rashi mentions that Moshe was already saying it at the time after the Chet Egel. But now, again, what was all Gemara is saying, at the time, at the end of the 40 years, when Moshe is bringing up the Chet Egel again, he also, at the same time, mentions that the Jewish people have an excuse in that Hashem set them up for it. So the Gemara continues. Ami Dvei Rabbi Yannai, so they say, in the yeshiva of Rabbi Yannai, to give a moshel for it, a lion doesn't roar when you give him a basket of straw. A lion roars when it's feeling very, very full of himself, very brave and very ready to go out and start a fight. So he won't do it if you give him a basket of straw. That doesn't fill him up. You give him a basket full of meat. Now he's feeling his strength and now he's ready to go rearing and go on the attack. So the same way, in other words, Hashem Moshe is telling the Jewish people, you gave them so much good of gold and silver, now they're like a lion that's on the prowl. I'm Rav Oshia, and Rav Oshia gives a different mashal. Mashal Adam Shoyis like Parak Chusha or Bala Sevarim. A person had a cow that was very skinny, and you could see all of its limbs. Bala Sevarim, it has the same number of limbs regardless, but in the meantime, you can see all of its limbs, you can see all of its bones, because they're sticking out all over the place. Herchila Kaushinin. He gave the cow kaushinim, which is a type of bean. In a pinch, the Gemara mentions it all over Shas. It's a type of bean. In English, it's called vetch. In a pinch, people can eat it, and they would sometimes in years of hunger, but mostly it was used as animal food. It was really good quality animal food, though. So that's the kind of food you give an animal if you want to fatten it up.
Like beans?
It's a kind of beans, yeah. And it's a type of beans, yeah. What?
It's a
Yeah, the hosim of Etesboy, and then the cow starts kicking him. Of Omala, and the man says to the cow, "Me gorim lach shtehem of Etesbi. What caused you that you're kicking against me? Ela kashin shayachaltich the beans, the kashinin that I gave you to eat." So in other words, again, Moshe is saying the same thing. All the good that you gave the Jewish people that caused them to go wild. By the way, on loshen einari noyhem, Rashi uses the expression sameach mishtageo mazik. He's happy and he goes crazy and he starts causing damage. So yeah. And a third mashal for it. Amar Abchiya ba'aba Amar Bechanan. Mashal la'odim echad shayu la'ben. Like a man who had a son. He chitzei v'sachay. He bathed the son and anointed him with oil or perfume or whatever. Ve'achiloi v'ishko. He gave him lots of food and drink. Ve'tolo le'kis al tzavori. He put a bag of gold coins around his neck. And then he has him sit by an entrance of a house of Zonis. What is the son supposed to do to avoid Averis? He's been set up to fail. So the same way Hashem, the same way Moshe is telling Hashem that you set the Jewish people up to fail. Now, why do we need three different mishalim for it? So Ben Yehoyada explains that let's look at the let's look particularly at the last one about the son. Within him himself, you're mentioning different things. You're saying that the father bathed him and gave him food and gave him money. So that means whatever way that the particular zoner is going to find him attractive, one is going to find him attractive because of his looks, another one because of his strength, another one because of his money. No matter what, he's been set up to fail. And the same thing with the other mishalim, each one expresses a different idea of how. So he explains actually that you have also there's a person does averas that are shogig kodiv lemezid, where a person was, it was a shogig, but it was a careless kind of shogig. He should have been more careful. Then you have where a person is mazed, and then you have where a person is rebellious. So that represents each of these three mishalim over here. The lion that you give it meat, and now, as Rashi says, it goes crazy and starts being mazik, that's like a shogig kodiv lemezid. At least it gets some benefit out of the hezek it's doing. The cow doesn't even get any benefit out of the kicking that it's doing. It just does it kind of for fun of it. So that would be somebody who's doing it deliberately. And then the third marshal would be about somebody who's rebellious deliberately against Hashem. And then within that, as he says, you have the different things. He makes it, the father makes it, that in every possible way, the kid is attractive. In his looks, in his strength from the food and drink, and in the money that he has. So therefore, with all of these arguments, Moshe is saying to Hashem that you set the Jewish people up to fail with the Chet Egel. Amr of Acha, Breder of Huna, Amr of Sheshes, Hainu de Amri Inshi, these Mesholim bear out the expression that people say, Mole Krese Zoni Bish, filling up the stomach is one of the types of bad. Rashi explains, moli kresi means to fill up the stomach. Zoni means types. The word zoni is the Aramaic word for types. Bishi means badness. So in other words, a person's stomach being full is one of the types of badness, one of the types of evil that there are in the world. Namely, that we're saying that then the person goes, that then the person doesn't know what to do with himself and goes crazy and starts behaving destructively. Shenemar, as in fact the Pasuk says, on this, the Navi says in Hashem's name, Kimar Istam, as they were grazing, Vaisbo, they became fat, again using the mashal of a grazing animal that gets fattened up. Sohu Vayorim Libam, they became very satisfied and their heart rose up. They became proud of themselves. Alken Shechoni, therefore they forgot me. Actually, if you look in the Chumashim, by the way, in Minig Ashkenaz, this is part of this week's Haftarah. On Minag is we stop a few psukim earlier, but Nosach Ashkenaz is they go and include these psukim. Rav Nachman Yitzchok Amar Mehacha. Rav Nachman Yitzchok says we have a different pasuk that expresses the same idea. Moshe warns the Jewish people, the Rom Levavecha, your heart is going to become proud as a result of Yehad Be'achalta V'Savalta V'Nachta V'Shachachta as Hashem Alekecha, and you're going to forget Hashem. V'rabbonin amri mehacha, the Rabbonin say you have another pasuk that expresses this idea. In Parashas Vayelech, Hashem warns Moshe v'ochal v'sava v'doshen, that the Jewish people will eat and become satisfied and become full up. V'doshen means like they'll be full of oil and they'll be full of oil and fat. Ufana, and then they'll turn away and worship Avodah. And you have yet another one in Hazinu, by Yishman, Yeshurun, by Yivat, Yeshurun, which is a nickname for the Jewish people, became fat and kicked. So why do we have all these psukim? So Maharsha explains these psukim go back with each of the mashalim that we said before. We had the mashal of the lion that was eating a whole basket full of meat and then became very proud of itself. And as Rashi said, mishtageo mazik, it went crazy and caused mezik. So corresponding to that, you have the pasuk sabu, they became fat. By yoram li, they became satisfied. By yoram libam, and their hearts became proud. And then the next pasuk, pentelcha b'sabata v'ram, those psukim that describe the heart becoming proud, are both those go together with the mashal of the lion that now has eaten lots of meat and now feels really good about itself and then goes crazy. The second one, the va'acha v'sabav v'doshen, is the mashal for the sun and in front of the Pesach shalzonis. Because they use the pasuk ufana that'll turn away to other kimacherim, where throughout Tanakh that kind of thing is compared to znus, and the vayishman yishuran vayivot is like the cow that kicked, because vayivot means that he kicked. So therefore, each of these psukim, or one or two of these psukim, corresponds to one of the mashalim that the Gemara said before, and in turn, like we said before, Ben Yehoyada explained that each of those mashalim refers to a different kind of aveira. They have the ones that are shogeg kodav mezid, the ones that are mezid, the ones that are rebellious. So they're all covered. Amr of Shmuel ben Achmeni, Amr of Yenison, Minayin Shechazer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Behoydel Oleh Moshe. How do we know that in the end Hashem agreed with Moshe? Which again, Maharsha says, not completely agreed. The fact is people have Bechira Chavshis, but Hashem agrees, like we said before, that it wouldn't be smoted to Ragleim Shal Yisrael, that we do have a certain degree of an excuse. Shenema, as you have many years later, Hashem says, the Navi Hoshea, the Chesef Hebesi law, I gave them lots of silver, the Zahav, and lots of gold, Osu la Baal, and they ended up using it for the Baal. Now, that was Hoshea, was hundreds of years after Moshe Rabbeinu, and in his times, they were actually worshipping the Avodah Zarah Baal. But in other words, the idea is that Hashem is saying the same kind of thing, backed by the Chet Egel, Hashem is saying to Moshe, the same kind of thing applies, that yes, you have a valid point, that too much gold and silver caused them to go the wrong way.
Also, Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem saw him all the generation until Moshiach.
Right, that's also true.
When Moshe Rabbeinu says something, even maybe it's not relevant to this point, but it's relevant to many years.
Right, well, I mean, at that point, he's still...
Moshe on the time of Moshea, but really Moshe was talking about the Shema in the time of Moshe.
Right, okay, I mean, he's also talking about it. The fact is, he's talking about his own time. The fact is, he's talking about his own time because he has to be melamed schus for the chet ego. He's not yet the time to be melamed schus for things hundreds of years from now. But yeah, and it's all part of the same thing. Yeah. Okay. So now the Gemara is going to start darshaning.
No, this all was after the Hashem forgive chesed.
That's the point. No, so
you cannot say it's for chesed chet
ego. Right. Okay. Right. Okay. Fine. Yeah, okay. I mean, there's always some part of the Chet Egel left over. We're going to talk to you for God.
The
Chet
Egel was to the Jewish people, by right. Him to Hashem, by
okay.
The way,
yeah.
Many years, yeah. Give a credit.
Right. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to douse in some psukim about what happened after the Chet Egel and when Moshe was pleading on behalf of the Jewish people. The pasuk says, Vayomer Hashem Moshe lech rei. Hashem tells him, go and go down. So now, my lech rei, what does that expression mean? Means Omer Abelazer, Omer Le'akadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, Moshe lech reid megdulascha, go and descend from your high level. Klum nasati l'chogdula ela b'shvi Yisrael. What was the whole reason I gave you greatness in the first place was only for the sake of the Jewish people. Achshav sheYisrael chatu. Well, now the Jewish people have sinned. Lama l'chogdula uli. What do I need? What do I need you? Or what do you need your greatness for? Maharsha explains, the point is, any other place where Hashem tells Moshe to go down, for example, Hashem tells him to go down before Matan Torah, he uses the same expression, lech reid, but there Hashem tells him what to do afterwards. Va'olisa ata ba'aron imach, you bring Aaron and you come up to Har Sinai, so therefore, and then warn the people not to touch Har Sinai, here Hashem just tells him lech reid without saying anything what to do. That's why the Gemara darshins, that's why the laws of darshin, that it means Hashem is telling him, lose your greatness. Well, so actually, Ion Yaakov points out what happened? So we said before that Moshe was the one who told the Jewish people to get all that gold and silver from the Mitzrayim. Now, Moshe himself, we know, was busy finding Yosef's bones. But now, So now he says, so now in a way, Moshe felt that Moshe realized, especially with Hashem telling him, Lech Reid, that he bears a certain degree of the fault for this, that he was the one through whom this command to get all that gold and silver was. So that's why Hashem tells him, go down from your gedula. The Eitz Yosef brings another point from the Tzlach as well. Since the pasuk says Vaydaber Hashem al Moshe Lech Reid, and we know Vaydaber always means something harsh, so it means with those words Lech Reid, Hashem is telling Moshe something very harsh, namely Reid Megulasa. So the Gemara continues Miyad Toshash Koychash al Moshe. Right away, Moshe's strength became weak. He had no ability to speak to ask Hashem to do differently. So that's one point. Ion Yaakov says, because again, he felt that he was to a certain extent at fault. So Ein Kategu Nasa Saneger. Another point that a couple of the Mephoshim say over here is that once Hashem told him, Reid Megulascha, go down from your greatness. So now he felt, if I speak up now, then it's going to look like the only reason I'm speaking up is because I want my greatness back. So now how can he speak up under such conditions? It sounds like Hashem closed things off for him. So therefore, Satoshash Koichos, he was weak and he had no power to speak. In fact, Mephoshim point out, you look in the Psukim over there, Hashem tells Moshe, Vaydaber Hashem al Moshe Lech Reid, and he tells him what happened. The Jewish people have made an eagle. Then right after that, you have Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, but Ro'isi Asa'om HaZavinam Cha'orafu, I've seen this people are very stubborn and therefore let me destroy them, etc. And then you have Vayichal Moshe. So why the Vayomer Hashem in the middle? If you have the psukim before that, Hashem is speaking as well. So what's being added by Yomer Hashem? So it means exactly that. Hashem told Moshe what's going on. The Chet Egel has been done. Now he's waiting for Moshe to respond. And as the Gemara is saying over here, Moshe couldn't think of anything to respond. So now Hashem says, in that case, you're Isi Esa Omazer, and then Va'at Hanichali. So
then
when
the Rebbe couldn't tell us so much, because like you say, it's
going, we shall cut. Yeah. So now, Now when Hashem told Moshe, leave me alone and let me destroy them. So now Moshe got the hint. It means it depends on me. Hashem is, so to speak, saying, leave me alone. And in Parshas Kisisa, also in the original story of the eagle, you also have the expression that Hashem says, Hanicholi. So Marsha has some discussion why the Gemara over here is quoting the pasuk from Parshas Ekev rather than the one from Parshas Kisisa. But he mentions that actually that maybe it's just because you have the expression in one place Hanichali and in another place Heref Mimeni, then therefore we understand what happened over here. The whole Seder Advarim, that first Moshe couldn't think what to say, and then Hashem says Heref Mimeni, and then he realized that it means that it depends on me. The very fact that it has a different lashon in each place is what prompts the Gemara to give us this Darasha. So now Hashem tells him, leave me alone. So now he realized, as long as I don't leave Hashem alone, then he won't do it. Now he was able to stand and strengthen himself in tefillah and daven for rachmanus for the Jewish people. So the Gemara says, Moshe l'melech basav adam, it's a Moshe like a human king, shehiko es b'noi, who was hitting his son, or the Gemara says in the printed Gemara says, shekos al b'noi, he was angry at his son, v'oimakeu makav dole, and he's just hitting him with very hard blows, the king's friend is sitting in front of him, he's afraid to speak up on behalf of the son, because he realizes the father is very angry. Kibin Sha'amar, then the king says, Umole Ploini Oyavi Ayosha Bafanai, if it weren't for my friend Ploini who's sitting in front of me, Haragticha, I would have killed you. Omar, now the friend realizes to himself, Dobra's a totally B, it all depends on me. Miyad Omar Beit Silo, so now he's able to stand up and start interceding on behalf of the son and saving him. So that's the same thing that Moshe Rabbeinu went through over here. At first, he thought that Hashem is so angry at the Jewish people, there's nothing that can be done. Now, once Hashem tells him, by telling him, Hanichali, and by telling him, Heref Mimeni, leave me alone, then Moshe understood that Hashem is hinting to him that as long as he doesn't leave Hashem alone, then Hashem won't do it, then Hashem won't destroy the Jewish people, and now he started doubting. So now, when the pasuk says, V'ata Hanichali, V'goymer, when Hashem says to him, now, Hanichali, Hanichali literally means, let go of me. So, Omer Abba Lazar, or Omer Abba Bohu, Yeah, it means umole mikrokosu v'yef shaloimer. If the pasuk hadn't been written like that, it would be impossible for us to say it. It would sound like a very disrespectful thing to say to Hashem, but because the pasuk says it, then we can understand it that way. Malamet shetofse Moshe l'akadosh baruch hu kaviyochol means that Moshe kaviyochol grabbed a hold of Hashem. Ka'odim shetofes l'chaveru bevigdoi, like the way you have when a person is pleading with somebody by somebody else, he grabs a hold of his clothing. He says, I won't leave you alone. Or a different deer say in the printed Gemara, I'm not leaving you alone. Until you forgive the Jewish people. So Hanichali was literally grabbing on Kaviyachol to Hashem's clothing. Anaf Yosef points out. Right, so Anaf Yosef points out, that's why the Gemara doesn't say that he grabbed a hold of Hashem himself, just of his clothing, the clothing representing Hashem's midos. Like, right, he's grabbing a hold of Hashem's midos, Kaviyachol, and asking Hashem, so to speak, change out of this midah into another midah and have Rachmanus on the Jewish people. Chidushi Ga'onim on the sides of here, by the way, brings a point. There's a Gemara elsewhere, a Gemara in Shkolim, that mentioned that the Luchos was 6 Tfachim in thickness, and that when Moshe is coming down from Har Sinai holding the luchos, he was holding on to the 2 tefachim of them. Hashem was holding on to the other to 2 other tefachim, and then the 2 in the middle are nobody is holding on to. And then when they made the eagle, Hashem was going to grab away the luchos from Moshe, and instead Moshe grabbed them back and brought them down Har Sinai and then broke them. So he explains that this goes together with our Gemara over here, that we're saying that Moshe realized the fact that Hashem is holding on to one end of the luchos is a hint to Moshe that he should grab onto the other end and, so to speak, wrest them away from Hashem, and that's what he did. And then we know he broke them, with the idea being, like he's saying that this way the ksuba is, so to speak, ripped up, and therefore Hashem will have more rachmanus on the Jewish people, and so forth. So it all goes with this that we're saying, that he, so to speak, grabbed onto Hashem's clothing. We'll continue with more of this tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. Yom Yom Mashiach Geula, for what is today, Gimel Cheshvan. The Rebbe talked about that, we were saying before about Mashiach has to be coming now, that we're already at the end of the period. There's no question. There's not the slightest shadow of a doubt that the time of the Geula has already come. Chazal, in fact, have the expression kolu kol hakitzim. All the kitzim are gone. So therefore, we understand that the fact that we're still doing the Avodah after that, as long as Mashiach is being delayed for some incomprehensible reason, at this point, it's not Avodah Sabirurim, because at this point, the entire Avodah Sabirurim has been completed. Continuing on halachas of drinking wine. If a person makes kiddush on wine and he plans during the meal to drink a mashke or to drink coffee, then the Alter Rebbe says that they're patterned with the wine like any other drinks. However, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says that there's a suffix and therefore you should have in mind not to patter them and then say shakol on something else to patter the drinks. We're mashkes if you're not eating bread yet. But here, the Alter Rebbe says they're patur with the wine bracha anyhow, so you don't have anything to worry about. When you're making a bracha on wine during the meal, and you have other people who you're being motzi with your bracha on the wine, then you say sabri maronon. So we say it before kiddush as well. Here we're talking about that you're saying it during the meal when you're making a bracha on wine in the middle of the meal. The reason is ultimately sabri maronon means pay attention, rabosai, so that they should stop eating and pay attention to the bracha.
Yeah. Now I should go to my kids.
Yeah. I mean, when we say Sabri Maronon by Kiddush, that's a whole nother matter. There's a different reason. It's a somewhat different reason. I mean, there also, it's an order that they should pay attention, but there they're not eating. They don't need to stop eating. Sabri means pay attention. Rabbanon, the Rabboisai. So on one level, what it means is that everybody should pay attention because I'm going to be saying a bracha to be motzi. There is, in fact, on minag is that you say it also if you're making kiddush on bread. In the Velt, they don't. In the Velt, they only say sabri maronon before a cup of wine. On minag, it's brought in hayom yom, and in sefer amin hagim, is that we also do it when you make, if a person is making kiddush on bread, you also say sabri maronon. Because ultimately, the purpose is to tell the people to pay attention. There are different other ideas behind saying sabri maronon before wine. One of them being that something having to do with when the Sanhedrin would be voting whether a person is chayiv misa or not. So they would ultimately come to a vote. Sabri maronon. What do the rabbanon think? how do we vote? And they vote l'chaim, and therefore you have them in a Sfarish a minute, because everybody answers l'chaim, and then you make the bracha. So that's another reason for saying Savri Maranon. And so according to that, that would apply mainly to wine. But again, the primary reason is that people should pay attention to the bracha, and therefore it's appropriate also by Kiddush on Brei.